Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our God, let the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock, our redeemer, and our portion. Amen. How often do you hear, "I am so busy right now"? It's something I hear quite often. I hear people who I'm close to say it. I hear the seminarians who I go to school say it. I hear myself saying it all the time. I am just so busy. Life is often busy for us. We feel like we have a million things to do. We become anxious. We become troubled. We become overwhelmed. And let's face it, busyness often defines our Christian lives. We're trying to be good Christians. We're trying to be faithful to the Lord. We're trying to be good parents, good husbands and wives, good children. We're trying to pray, trying to read our Bibles, trying to encourage one another. We're trying to reach out to those we know with the gospel. And we just get tired and bogged down. We get stressed out and we become anxious. If any of this sounds like you this morning, then you need to hear the simplicity and straightforwardness of the Lord's words to you from Luke 10. In our passage, the Lord Jesus exhorts you to stop being anxious and instead sit at his feet and receive from him. Stop being anxious and sit at the Lord's feet and receive from him. As we dive in, let's set some context before us. Luke tells us in verse 38, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. It's important to know where Jesus is heading. In Luke 9:51, we're told that when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus knows where he is going. He knows what's going to happen when he arrives there. He isn't going to be surprised when everyone rejects him, when all of his disciples deny him, when he will be offered up to die on that cross. He knows that he's going to his death. He is going to the place where he will accomplish what he came into the world to do, to die for sinners, to take upon himself the sins of the world, to receive and absorb the total wrath of God the Father, and to redeem a people for himself. And as Jesus is on his way, he enters a village and is welcomed into the house of Martha. We know that Martha is the sister of Mary. We are told from John's Gospel in chapters 11 and 12 that Martha and Mary are the sisters of Lazarus. Lazarus is that man who died and was then brought back to life by Jesus. Jesus did this to show that he was the resurrection and he was the life. And so we are also told in John 12 that there was a celebration in light of this resurrection, so to speak, where Martha served. This might be what's going on here in our passage in Luke 10. We can't fully know, however. Regardless of the occasion, Martha welcomes Jesus into her house. Martha is aware of who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. She knows that he is the Lord of Israel, come as the Messiah. He is the God of creation, come as a man. Martha is a believer and a disciple of Jesus. This is why she calls him Lord. And Martha wants to serve Jesus. Imagine for us for a moment if the Lord entered your house. You'd want to get the house all cleaned up. You'd want to vacuum the floors, wipe the countertops, dust everything, pick everything up, make everything presentable. You'd want to prepare the tastiest meal possible for him. You'd want to maybe get the best steak, maybe get the best fish. I don't know, cook it just to his liking. Make the best salad, bring out the best appetizers, prepare the most delicious dessert, provide the finest wine and drink. And give him the best seat in your house. You wouldn't want to serve Jesus scraps or just any meal. Here, Lord, I've got leftovers from last night. Let me just warm them up in the microwave. Why don't you go sit and wait in that chair covered in cat hair? No. Martha is no different from any of us. She wants to serve Jesus the best meal that she possibly can. She wants to provide the most comfortable environment for Jesus. And yet Jesus rebukes her. Very gently, but very directly. His words pinpoint where her heart is at. In all her anxieties, Martha has forgotten what's most important. And so we're forced to ask the question, is it wrong for Martha to serve Jesus the best meal she possibly can? Is it wrong for her to offer her hospitality to Jesus? She's trying to be faithful. She's trying to serve the Lord Jesus. What's wrong with Martha? And what in the world makes Mary's actions so commendable? She seems like she's just sitting there, fairly lazy. Before answering these questions, it might be helpful to tease out what Jesus isn't teaching us. Jesus isn't teaching us that the sacred life is somehow more important than the secular life. He isn't saying that you need to leave behind your secular duties and focus all your attention on prayer, contemplation, meditation, and private Bible reading and become a radical for Jesus. He isn't telling you to abandon all of your secular jobs, whether it's teaching, homeschooling, engineering, farming, business, construction, computer science, graphic design, medicine, art, fill in the blank. He isn't telling you to abandon all of these things and then go find a spiritual calling like ministry, because this is what really matters in life. Jesus isn't downplaying the ordinary and obscure life. In addition to this, Jesus isn't teaching us that we just need a little more balance in our lives. That, yes, worship comes before service, but Jesus isn't suggesting that we need to have a balanced life, that we need to somehow balance the two of these somehow. He isn't saying that we need to have a little bit of Martha and a little bit of Mary. And Martha's problem is she has too much Martha. Martha's problem isn't grounded in the amount of service she offers. Notice the Lord never tells Martha to stop serving. He tells her to stop being anxious, stop being troubled, stop worrying. Jesus is looking past Martha and Mary's external actions, and he's looking into the deep recesses of their hearts. And he pinpoints what's wrong with Martha. So what's wrong with Martha's heart? She clearly loves Jesus. She's serving him with all that she has. She's giving him her all. She's working hard for his sake. Try to imagine Martha's position for a moment. Ladies, I think it might be easier for you. She's cleaned the house. She's brought out the appetizers. She's in the kitchen all by herself, working hard to prepare a good meal. And everyone else is in the living room, having a great time. She's slowly becoming troubled. She's slowly becoming anxious. She's becoming irritated and annoyed. Martha wants to join in on the fun, but she's distracted. Literally, the word here for distracted communicates that she's being pulled. She's being pulled in all sorts of directions. She doesn't have the time to sit down. She doesn't have the time to take a break. She wants to be like Mary. She wants to be with Jesus. But she's looking at everything in front of her and saying, "Look at all the things that need to be done." She's thinking, "If I don't get to this, who else is going to?" In her strong worth ethic, she's beginning to forget who she's doing it for. We are often no different than Martha. We become so busy in serving. We want to please Jesus, so we serve more and more. But we become distracted from whom we're serving. We become pulled in all sorts of directions. And serving becomes a burden. It leads to us feeling overwhelmed. It leads to us feeling self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. We begin to feel like we're the only ones doing anything for Jesus. We end up concerned for ourselves rather than for Jesus. We think we're doing kingdom work. We serve, we sacrifice our time. But we can become self-centered, focused on everyone else and what they're not doing. If this is how we view service, beloved, it will inevitably turn into resentment, it will turn into anger and irritation, and it will turn into blaming and accusations. Think of Martha's complaint. She complains about Mary's lack of service. But notice that her complaint is actually not against Mary. It's against Jesus. She blames him. She accuses him. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to help me." And in just three verses, Martha has turned from welcoming the Lord Jesus into her house to accusing him. This is what our hearts do. So what about Mary? What about Mary? We are told that she sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his teaching. Sitting and listening communicate a certain posture. Sitting communicates Mary's humility. Listening reveals a need to hear the truth. A need to learn and grow. A need to hear the words of Jesus. Mary knows that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, God in flesh. And she understands that he has the words of eternal life. Where else and to whom else shall she go? She wants to be near Jesus, and her posture is very different from Martha's. Now, don't get me wrong. Being a Martha can appear very pious. It can appear very devoted. Jesus comes first. My needs come second. While being a Mary can appear very selfish. I'm more concerned about what Jesus can do for me. I'm less concerned about what I can do for Jesus. However, there is something about this mindset in Mary, this posture, that reflects just what the gospel is all about. Let me put it this way. The gospel is always first and of most importance about what Jesus has done for us. The gospel is always first about what Jesus has done for us, not what we have done for Jesus. What Jesus has done for us defines us. It shapes and molds our identity. Our identity is not shaped by how well or how much we serve Jesus. Our identity in Jesus is properly lived out when we sit at his feet and receive from him. What we do for Jesus is not at the core of our relationship with him. People of God, what you do for Jesus is not at the center of your relationship with him. That might be a little bit offensive to some of us to hear that. But the gospel is about what Jesus has first done for us, not about what we have done for Jesus. Jesus values our communion and our fellowship with him more than our service for him, especially when our deeds are fueled by our own strength, our own power, which inevitably leads to bitterness, manipulation, and complaining. This is why Jesus corrects Martha. She is neglecting the one necessary thing, to sit at the Lord's feet and receive from him. This is what Jesus tells Martha Mary is doing. Mary has chosen the good portion, the Lord tells Martha. This language calls our attention back to the Psalms. We read Psalm 73 for the gospel. We sang Psalm 16 as the psalm before the sermon. It calls our attention back to the Lord as his people's portion and their cup. Psalm 16:5. This language about portion makes us think of a meal, which is very fitting for our story. Think of Martha busy trying to prepare the meal, the best meal. She's in the kitchen going crazy, going frantic, running around. All the cupboards are opened. Everything's all over the place. She's busy cooking the meat. She's busy preparing the bread. She's busy making the meal. But as she's doing this, Mary is in the living room feasting on the eternal meal. Mary is being nourished by the bread come down from heaven. Mary is feasting on the heavenly food through his words. You see, Jesus didn't come to Martha and Mary's house to receive a meal. He came to feed. He came to nourish. He came to give. And what Martha wants to give isn't as important as what Mary needs to receive. Jesus came to prepare the meal. He came to be the true host. Once again, it's important to note that Jesus is not against service, beloved. He's not against Martha. He's against a distracted service, a service that is pulled in all kinds of directions, a service that is pulled away from him, a service that neglects him, and instead seeks to serve ourselves and show, look how good we are. Look how much I'm serving and how little everyone else is doing anything. There is something very basic to what the Lord is teaching us from the story of Martha and Mary. He is teaching us about the demands and claims he has upon us. He is teaching us that receiving him and his kingdom must take priority over everything else in this life. Receiving him and his kingdom must take priority over everything else in this life. We must receive Jesus. We must receive him as our food and our portion. This is more important than anything we can ever do or anything we will ever do for Jesus. We must first sit at Jesus' feet and receive him and seek his kingdom. This is what we don't often do because we are Martha. We are an anxious people. We are distracted. We are pulled in all sorts of directions. We are worried. We are troubled about many things. And oftentimes these things are actually good things. We want to care for our families. We want to provide for them. We want to please one another. We want to be good Christians. But none of these things are good enough. Jesus is good enough. Jesus is the good portion. Be a Mary and receive Jesus. Seek his kingdom. Seek him, for he will never be taken away from you. He is that one necessary thing. And now, let go and stop being so anxious. Stop being so distracted. Stop letting yourselves be pulled in so many directions. And confess that the good things you do aren't as good as sitting at the feet of Jesus and tasting his goodness. Stop trying to please Jesus. Stop trying to earn his favor. Stop trying to clean yourself up. Stop trying to prepare yourself for him. Just sit. Sit at the Lord's feet and receive from him. Friends, it's easy. It's easy to do a bunch of things for Jesus. You might not think this, but it's easy. It's easy to serve. It's easy to pack our schedules full of all sorts of things to do. It's easy to make to-do lists and then kind of check them off after we've accomplished everything. It's easy to act very pious, to act very devoted. And it's hard to sit at the feet of the Lord. It's hard to admit that we will never clean ourselves up, that we will never prepare ourselves in the best way, that we will never check off everything on that list. And it's hard to admit simply that we need him so much that all we can do is sit. It's hard to be quiet and not offer your own 2 cents. It's hard to simply receive from him and be nourished. But where is our identity found? Is it found in all the things that we do? I guarantee you that if we find our identity in all the things that we do for Jesus and for one another, we will grow more and more anxious. We will grow more and more distracted. We will become more and more bitter. And we will grow more and more irritated with the Lord. Beloved, find your identity in sitting at the Lord's feet. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He didn't come to be fed. He came to feed us with himself, the bread of life. Remember, Jesus isn't on his way to Martha's house. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to that cross where he will die for anxious and distracted people like you, me, and Martha. where he will hunger and thirst, so we, like Mary, might feast on him. Friends, the Christian life isn't about what we do for Jesus. It's about what Jesus has done for us. So sit. Sit at the Lord's feet and receive. Be nourished. Be fed. Be quiet. Trust. Sit at the Lord's feet and receive. And taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.